Burkett. This is a monthly podcast brought to you by the network, where we spend an hour each month having an informal discussion around career hot topics, including talent development, pillars for 2020, emotional intelligence, education, skill development, and even networking with prominent leaders in our business and our company and with our community as well. Today, we're going to focus around networking. And today, we also have the pleasure of having this discussion with two wonderful leaders in the business, Pamela Osborne, an AVP for Project Program Management, and Anthony Tuggle, Vice President of Customer Care. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, both of you. I hope you all are relaxed and, you know, feet up, ready to have a conversation that I think will be inspiring and captivating for our audience. So before I get started into our questions, you know, I like to ask, what is your drink of choice as we have this conversation? Talk to me, Pamela. Mine is my coffee with a steam milk and a touch of hazelnut.
Well, fortunately, you've coached me that this was a morning drink. So my drink of choice is typically sparkling water with coconut vinegar and a splash of lemon juice in the morning.
Now, Pamela, you got to tell me, coconut vinegar?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So coconut vinegar, for me, I work out a lot. It has remnants of MCT oil in it, which helps to rev your system up and burn fat instead of muscle. But it's also helpful for those of us that have issues with glycemic indexes.
Oh.
It helps to stabilize your body, not crave sweets, push off a lot of those triggers for hunger and sweets and sugar. So
that's
kind of why.
Well, now that's interesting. Coconut vinegar. I'm going to have to try it. I don't know if I'm going to try it really, Pamela, but I have to try it. Though, so we'll see.
Whole Foods has it in the aisle for you.
All right, Anthony, what's your drink of choice this morning for our conversation?
My drink of choice is what I have every morning. That is water. So I'm going to keep it pretty simple. I drink water, lots of water, and I also drink apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar. I'm familiar with that. Now, that water, you got to make it interesting, Anthony. Do you put a lemon? You put a lime in it? Oranges? Anything? Just water. Just straight water.
Straight water. That's all I need to kind of kick
no
my
chaser.
Day off. No chaser. Too early. I just need water, lots of it. So I am hydrated to take on all the world successes.
I hear you.
How about that?
I hear you, Anthony. Shout out to the Tuggle Nation, right?
Tuggle Nation.
Woo-woo!
All right, so let's get started. It looks like you all are both ready to dive right into our questioning. And remember, our focus today is all about networking for the next hour. So let's start with Pamela. How would you describe traditional, quote unquote, networking in comparison to building relationships?
So interestingly enough, Bill, and I don't know if Tuggle knows this about me as well, I'm a bit of an introvert, so networking did not come easy to me and probably still does not come as easy to me as it should at this stage in my career. It is something that I truly have to force myself to do and have always had to do and been very, very intentional about it. I think traditional networking, when I started in the business, you know, it was mostly, oh, we're going to do a networking hour, whether it was inside of the company, and you kind of made the rounds with a lot of different leaders and different people that they folks thought it was important to you to meet. Or there were networking hours after hours during happy hours.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think I am much more organic. There has to be, while networking is good and it's good for others to know you, there's a really personal piece of connecting that has to be there to build a business relationship. And I think it has to be a two-way street. And it occurs over months, years, not in one networking session. So I think you have to be very thoughtful in what you're looking for in a networking event versus building a long-term business relationship. Two very different things.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. So when you're talking about it has to be relationship, there has to be a relationship connection there of some sort. When you think about the conversation of networking, you know, it's all about creating a network, creating acquaintances or associates, right? For business, for mutual benefit, shall we say. So Anthony, tell me your thoughts on that question. What, you know, how would you describe traditional networking in comparison to building relationships?
Traditional networking is one and done. Mm-hmm. It is one and done. It is traditional. Think about it. It's about shaking hands, passing out your business cards, and then you leave with a stack of business cards and you normally don't call them back.
Okay.
That is traditional networking. Think about it though. When you network traditionally, how many people actually call back or how many people you reach out to? So it's normally 1 out of 10 at best. Most people just have a stack of business cards or LinkedIn requests.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think now, LinkedIn requests that's out there, but there's no connection. Building relationships is about making a connection. It's about having a conversation with someone that's going to lead to another conversation. You should be thinking about going into the networking is how do I meet people and establish a relationship that's going to last a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Most of my networking, I've met people that I've now known for a decade, but I didn't think of it as networking. I thought it was about making a connection. I was looking for people that could play a valuable role in my career, in my personal life. It wasn't always about finding a job. It was all about building that right team, that the right board of directors of support that you need to just get through day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think that's a great point. I think that there's a difference. You know, in any business relationship, it's give and take.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we talk or when we're talking about the generation of folks that are coming into the business and you talk about networking, that becomes a little bit one-sided. It puts some of the monkey on the leader, right? They're networking with young folks or with new people into the business. And then it's more like, what is the expectation of what that leader can do for you going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Versus I think that you have to build to get there. As Anthony said, you've got to find people that you connect with, find people that, you know, you naturally vibe with. And it's a path that you're going down together where, you know, I may be able to help Anthony in some ways. Anthony may be able to help me. It really becomes a two-way street. And you know that you're building towards being able to depend on a core of folks that you can depend on both personally and professionally.
I want to add on to, I want to dive into something you just said, Pamela, and I'm going to make a statement that one author wrote. And based on his statement, I want your take, both of your takes on it. Networking is based on the question, how can I help and not what can I get? How can I help and not what can I get? What do you think of that statement? Do you agree based on where we're going in this conversation? Let's start with Anthony.
How can I help? And versus, I agree with not what I can get. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I would describe it as how can I help? That one is kind of interesting. Let me think about, like, when I think about how can I help, I think about it differently. I'm thinking about it like, you know, what contributions can I add to the conversation or to the relationship? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that. So when you're thinking about how can I help versus not what or versus what can I get, Anthony, I appreciate your comment in regards to how can I help. Pamela, were you going to add on to that?
Yeah, I think that it depends on what role you're playing in the networking relationship. If you're the person that the employee is looking to network with, I think that it is a how can I help conversation. On the other end, if I'm the networkee, it's more of, I think you have to think about what is the ask of the person if it's a true networking scenario. Is it a callback? Is it, you know, 30 minutes outside of this networking event? Can I get on your calendar to kind of, you know, get for you to get to know me a little better? So I think it depends the role you're playing in the networking event.
So based on what we've been saying, what I've heard both of you state, it does start with a genuine desire to build relationships. I think when you're thinking of an effective networking circle, it does start with a genuine desire to build relationships, right? So with that said, Pamela, let's continue down that path. How would you recommend our network listeners build and nurture relationships, in especially with COVID-19, you know, in mind?
I think with COVID-19 in mind, we really have to think about, Phil, again, I'm going to use that word, intentional. If you were used to meeting with or attempting to get to know someone, use the tools that you have at hand to do that. Email. If it's a new relationship and somebody said, hey, I think you need to go and meet this person or talk to them. But also think about if video conferencing is available, see if the person you're networking with, that leader, will, you know, accommodate that and network with you live so you can see each other face to face and get to know one another. Half of the battle is making a connection, someone being able to put eyes on you to get to know you so that you're top of mind. We meet so many people at these different events and everything, you know, at different times, that if we're not actually seeing your face and connecting with you, it's really hard to remember you later on. So you've got to think about how to get that across, what makes you special, what you're going to connect with that other person you're on the line with. And then being consistent, you know, is it once a quarter? Is it every other month? To really build that relationship, whether it's virtual or in person. And I think it's going to be virtual for a very, very long time. So we're going to have to think about how we creatively do these things. Do we start in a Zoom networking conversation and then break off into rooms to do those conversations separately, one-on-one or with a smaller group? We're going to have to work really hard at making those connections and sustaining them in this new environment and be creative about doing it.
Anything else you want to add on to that, Anthony?
I think Pamela hit it well. This is our new normal. So the old networking approaches, all of that is gone. And let's just be real, that probably will not come back until 2021, probably mid-year 2021. So now we have to rely on technology. We got to be creative. We got to think out of the box. We got to figure out how to Zoom, how to video chat, how to have those drinks after work on Fridays. My wife has been a master at this. She's done very well She's like, hey, at 7 p.m., I'm having drink with the girls. And they're on Zoom. They're having a great conversation. You would think they are live and in person. So they figure it out. We just have to build it in our new operating rhythm.
So, Anthony, you were talking earlier about, you know, you said sometimes people, you know, they go to these networking events and you get a card, or you get a phone number, and that's really the extent of it. You don't really connect back. So talk to me about, still talking about building and nurturing your relationships. We often talk about when you're networking, you make sure that you get out there, you connect, you build. I want to talk about auditing your network, because really you touched on something earlier. You got all these cards and you got all these people's, and, you know, phone numbers and names, and you haven't reached out to them in a while. Is there a benefit to auditing your network?
When you say auditing, say more. Are you saying assess who you're networking with? Mm-hmm. Or, because I would say the best networkers already have done the homework mm-hmm. before they get to the event. So they mm-hmm. already know, hey, let me find out who's going to be there and who are the 3 to 5 people that I'm going to make a connection with. They're not going there to say, I want to meet all 50 people. I only want to meet these 3 to 5, and I'm going to have meaningful conversations with them. And if I can have those 3 or 5 people and have meaningful conversations, I've done what I was supposed to do. Therefore, I don't have to worry about doing an audit process because I've done the homework up front. A lot of people come into the networks event unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
They just say, I'm coming to network. And most of the time when people are trying to network with me, I ask them about their career, or what's going on with their family. They don't know, and I ask them what they want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Then how do you expect me to help you? Right. If you don't know, I'd be like, I don't read minds. So you got to mm-hmm. give me more. And I would encourage people to really step back and prepare before they walk into a networking event.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They should know those basic things like, hey, why am I there? What am I trying to gain? Et cetera. And if you don't know what you want to do yet, just say, hey, but figure, you just don't say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, I'm seeking, I'm taking advantage. I'm talking to you because I'm trying to figure out what's out there and what are the opportunities. That's how you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great
go ahead, Pamela.
That's a really great point. I will tell you that one of the things that I learned from one of my mentors, and Anthony, you may remember Sharon Williams from HR. She was the one that really helped me with this concept of when you're networking, one of the things that you can do is to ask for an informational interview. You know, as leaders, we love talking about what we're doing. And that's one of the ways, especially when you're not in that critical position of needing to find a job, but really trying to establish and build relationships. You know, if there's an area of the business or if there's something that someone you're interested in meeting is doing or leading or working on, ask for an informational interview for 30 minutes to find out more about that part of the business. As leaders, we want to, you know, meet with talent and, you know, we want people who are eager to learn about what we're doing and perhaps even learn from them how they may be able to contribute into an area that we're working on. And when opportunities are available, you may then become top of mind for us to circle back around to. So I've found, especially probably in the last 2 years when I've, you know, had the ability to hire, the people who did that well with me that I've met through networking are actually people that I've gone back and hired into positions.
So Pamela and Anthony, I like what you're all saying. When you think about networking, you have the mindset, sometimes, you know, you build, you connect, but
I'm still going to go back to what Anthony stated earlier. I got cards. And, you know, I might have planned, Anthony. I might have set and had a game plan. I'm going to connect to those three people. But sometimes your networking could evolve. In other words, when you go in, you look at that, you're asking yourself, where do I want to be? What am I looking to achieve within the next 3 years? And is this networking group going to help me get there? And if not, I might need to adjust accordingly. If someone stated to me once, they said, hey, if they can't help me, I think someone, Anthony, I think you mentioned LinkedIn earlier. I'm looking to progress. I'm looking to develop and move forward. If you're not helping me get there, then I might need to adjust or build more connections. Would you all agree with that?
Kinda. But I just want to make sure I'm clear. But if you really approaching me on how can I help you, mm-hmm. I'm not going to proceed that well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So remember, it takes two to establish a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you give off the impression that you're only here to talk to me to get something from me, right. We will not have a relationship, and I'll be able to pick on that quickly.
Yeah.
So that's go ahead, Pamela.
I'm sorry. I think the reality of it, I mean, that really hits home for me. And I think that in a lot of ways, Tuggle and I are kindred spirits in that. If I don't know you, you know, both Anthony and I have brands, and our brands are important to us. So we've got to trust and know the people that we're putting our names behind, because that's our calling card too. The next time that we need to go, whether it's within our organizations or whether we need to be the spokesperson to champion someone that we're mentoring or networking with for another opportunity, if we tee up folks that aren't necessarily the right fit the first or second time, they may not want to take us seriously when we go to put up somebody for another role. And that affects the brand that we have to be able to do that for folks. So I really have to get to know you, because I need to know the quality of your work. I need to know that you're going to show up and you're going to be present and, you know, deliver when you say you're going to deliver. And that takes time. That doesn't come from a traditional networking session. I think the traditional networking sessions set you up to be able to then go and grow into those mentoring sessions and for all of us to get to know one another and then change that mentoring relationship into a sponsorship or an advocate relationship. So I think there are steps that take time and energy and investment on both parts to get to that, what can I help get you to? And I may end up doing it, Anthony may end up doing it, and you don't even know we're doing it for you. And that's the even better place to be in, where you may not know it, but we're talking to you and advocating for you at the table. But that takes time, that takes you showing up, that takes you investing in yourselves and following up with us to ensure that we're growing that relationship with you.
This is great, great discussion and dialogue so far. So, Anthony, I want to get you to elaborate a little bit more in my next question, which is, you know, we've just said, hey, if you're in it for yourself, we might have a problem connection. What are some other indicators of a relationship that will be ineffective? Have you ever, what have you found to be ineffective in regards to networking? And also, what are there any other indicators or elements of a successful networking relationship outside of what we've already discussed?
Hey, so a couple things there. One of the things that I've seen a lot of people do is they do a poor job of following up on deliverables. So if I ask you to send me your resume, send me, you know, your bio, and I give you a homework assignment, I expect you to respond back in a timely manner. And I've had lots of people who decided not to, or, you know, I see them again at another event and I didn't give them any opportunity to connect with me again. And I was very clear with them to say, hey, I was testing to see how valuable this relationship was to you. Mm-hmm. Remember, you're networking with me and I'm happy to devote my time. And I just believe that people make time for what's important. Mm-hmm. I just say clearly, I was not important at the time. And that's one of the things, Phil, that people do a lot. They don't do it intentionally, but it happens a lot, which is kind of scary. I'd be like, I'm just baffled. And then they want to come back 30 days, 45, 60 days later, 2 years. And then guess what? Their resume come across your desk again through another source. And your first response is absolutely not. I would not support this individual because they're follow through, lack of follow through.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really great point, Anthony. You know, we get resumes, we get folks reaching out to us every day. And if I've not spoken to you in a year, 2 years, I don't know what you've been working on. I don't know what your performance has been. It's going to be really difficult for us to be advocates for you when you need us to go and weigh in or write a recommendation letter to someone regarding a position you may want or an advancement. So I think it gets back to, are you building a real relationship or are you being opportunistic to be able to say, oh, I know Anthony Tuggle, and think that that's going to get you the next level or the next opportunity? Because if somebody says that to me, I'm going to immediately pick up the phone and call Anthony and say, hey, what can you tell me about this person? And if his experience hasn't been a good one, or if you haven't followed up, he's going to be honest with me because we've got that kind of relationship. We've got, you know, to worry about, hey, the next time he wants me to consider somebody seriously, am I going to do that if he then gives me someone who didn't even do something for him? So I think that that's those are the things that folks really have to think about as they go through this whole process of creating genuine relationships professionally with folks in the business.
So Pamela, let's talk more, you know, building relationships. How important is having a personality? You know, or being, and what I mean by that, being more outgoing, because you stated at the beginning, you're an introvert. I think I remember we're in our discussion mm-hmm. before we got on the call that you're an introvert. I'm an introvert. What? Mm-hmm. So talk what? To me. What? Right. Yes. Yes. So, yes. Mr. All right. So how important is having a personality or being outgoing in establishing that relationship? Yeah. That person that's, you know, kind of like holding it in a meeting.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
I will say to you, and I probably differ from a lot of folks in this, I think personality is different than being outgoing. And I think mm-hmm. that I think it's much more important to be authentic in how you relate in the world than kind of putting on a show or bringing out something that you're not able to sustain. Because that's not truly who you are. And I think that folks are really intuitive about being able to pick those things up. So I think it's important that you have a voice, but I think it's important that you have an authentic voice and that it shows up and shows your personality and your uniqueness. I just never am going to be the first person to jump up and, you know, yell about something. I am very much, even in meetings, you know, I mm-hmm. process differently. I speak when I have something to say. I'm not one of those that believes that you need to speak and say something at every meeting. So I think you have to really know yourself, get comfortable with yourself, take coaching, but everybody's going to have a different rhythm and path and different advice. You can have three different mentors and, you know, three different people you're networking with, and we're all going to tell you something different. We're all going to have a way that we approach something. And I think you have to listen, but then adapt and take the pieces that you can make authentically yours and that you feel comfortable with. And I think that people honor that and understand that in the long run. At least I've been fortunate enough to find that in my path and have people who've taken the time to grow relationships with me and I with them so that they understand the value that I bring to the table and that I can communicate that well, but I'm still authentically me. And I don't think that there's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think you have to be your authentic self. Otherwise, people, you got to bring the true you to the conversation. And I believe we all play the role of extrovert and introvert throughout the day, throughout the week. It just depends on the situation, depending on where we are. That's why it's so good. It is so important for you just be your authentic self. If you're introvert, you're going into a networking event, you know you find your extrovert tendencies. Just so that you can have the conversation. You can't just go there and just go in a corner. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, just you gotta be realistic about it. And remember, networking is about having a connection, making a conversation. And the best networking, the most successful networking that I've had is started out with us talking about personal things we had in common. We talked about each other's families. If you want someone to light up and really start want to have a conversation, talk about their kids, talk about their family, talk about health issues, do not talk about politics right now, but talk about the things that they're passionate about. You guys know all of us. We can you bring up our kids, family.
Yeah.
Oh, the conversation. We're gonna perk up. Like, oh, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's to me. A lot of people go in talking, going hardcore business. I graduated from the MBA. Yeah. I got it. I'm like,
yeah.
That's not telling me about who you are. Talk to me about how you. You know, where did you grow up, and where you know. Your family, that your parents, single parent, did both of your parents work two jobs? That type of things is what makes people like, oh, I want to spend more time with that individual. It's like, oh, if I'm not going to wait for him to reach out to me, I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
So I got to mess with you all. So you're in a networking room. Both of you use the term authentic. You're the leader. You're watching individuals converse and communicate throughout the room. You're watching others who are more quiet and reserved and so forth. And we're saying be authentic. Okay. How do you determine what's authentic? How can you, as the leader in the room, and this is for the leaders in our audience, how do you determine when someone's authentic? Because we all have been in that scenario where, whoa, I didn't expect that. What we thought was, wasn't. Right. So how do you what are indicators of authenticity as far as you all are concerned? Pamela, just thought real quick.
So I am very much a gut person. Mm-hmm. And I think you can, you know, honestly, we've been doing this a long time. You can tell when people are being rehearsed. Or if you're in a room, there are times, you know, that we may not always be talking or we may just be sitting and listening. And if you consistently hear the same pitch that was pitched to you with every single leader that the person is going to, that probably is not, to Anthony's point, an authentic conversation. I think when you go into that both of you are sharing. You're both getting into a conversation. To Anthony's point, you know, if I ask you what's important to you in life, are you immediately going into what's important to AT&T or whatever company that you're working for? Or are you truly telling me, you know, what do you do for work? Like, what value do you believe you could bring to any organization? I think it becomes a give and take conversation. But if it's kind of like a line you're just going down and you're repeating the same thing over and over and over again, we're probably not feeling like we're getting to know something else about you or the authentic you. We're learning your elevator pitch, and that's great if you have an elevator pitch. But then what's that next layer down? Because that's going to be, for me, what makes me want to connect with you, makes me want to go and advocate for you and get to know you. And I think that's kind of what I mean by being authentic. I'm probably not going to be the most talkative person if I'm the person that's networking. Like if I go up to if Anthony's the person I'm networking with, I'm probably not going to be the loudest voice there. I may not be the person that's going to offer up a lot of my personal background initially. I'll get there and that's okay. There are other people that are very, very comfortable doing that. And I think that we're astute enough to understand that and know that. And if we're going to want to dig a little deeper for those folks that we see that in. I don't think that there is a blueprint that works for everybody in every circumstance. I don't know, Anthony, what do you think?
I think you said it well. There is no blueprint. You need to be authentic, but more importantly, we can tell when you are rehearsed and whether or not you're being authentic. Because when you rehearse, you have the same look. You have memorized your questions. And here's the other thing. As leaders, we take notes. We talk to the other leaders and say, did he ask you the same questions? Did he only talk about? And what you got to remember is at most of the networking events that you attend, the leaders know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that we do take notes, guys. And we do say, did he talk to you about the NBA and what he did, but he didn't talk to you about, he had the same questions and he went around the room with the same question. Wasn't smart enough. He or she weren't smart enough to switch them up. You know, probably good advice is we do take notes too. Make it more natural. Make it conversational. I know it's hard, but you're going to have to figure out how to do this.
I think Anthony also said something earlier that is key. Do the work. There's a lot of information out there about us. Our corporate bios are posted on the bio library. Folks know us. If you're coming to a networking event and you know we're going to be there, you know, at least read our bio, because you know what? We may not even be working in an area that you're interested in. You know, and that's okay. But there may be something else there, you know, the work we do in the community, our interests, our children, that you can tap into that may be another way to build a relationship and that you may have going on in your life or may need some thoughts around that we can address for you. But to Anthony's point, if you're asking everybody the same question and just going down a checklist, for me at least, that's not necessarily an authentic way to build a relationship with me. And every leader is different. So you're going to have to know who the audience is. And that takes a little homework on your part.
So Anthony, really, y'all talk, man? Really? The leaders talk?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. We talk. It's all good. I mean, we just want to compare notes to say, you know, who's the future? Because we go to those networking events to identify future leaders. Mm-hmm. At some point, some of us will get old and want to get out of this game. And we want to make sure that it is in great hands.
Pamela, I'm glad you brought up the elevator pitch. If you've gone to any ERG conference in recent years, previous years, they talk about the elevator pitch. They have to polish the elevator pitch. But you took it one step further. And you said, in your authentic self, let's talk about you. Make it natural, not robotic. There is no checklist. I want to find out about you beyond the elevator pitch. That's an excellent point. So I want to get into a couple more questions here. When you're thinking of your organization and your leader within your organization, let's talk quickly from your points of view. How important is the ability for that leader to build relationships and to be able to connect with their teams? What are some of the things that you look for in that regard? Let's start with you, Pamela.
So I have a real passion around pouring into teams. I believe as leaders, as managers, our number one job is to develop our teams. So if you don't have a passion around doing that as a man, if you're looking for a manager role, if I'm looking at my team to be managing, that's probably going to be the biggest red flag for me. You know, if you're smart, if you love to learn, you're going to learn, you're going to pick up on the product, the solution, whatever it is, Salesforce, whatever it is our groups are doing, the call center, selling. If you truly, but I think the one thing that you have to have naturally or that you've got to invest in is developing people. Because I think a lot of times where, and for the leaders and the people that I'm looking for on my team, if you really don't enjoy managing people, if you can't have those hard conversations when you need to have them, you're not going to be able to build a world-class team. You're not going to be able to build a high-performing team. And a lot of times, it's not only, you know, a lot of times I've taken chances on people who maybe didn't work out for the team that I, for the work that I'm building, but they're good people. They have potential. They have great talent, but that talent that they may need to go work somewhere else. And I also think that it's our jobs as leaders to be able to have those conversations and be able to go and champion for those people to go into other parts of the business. It's not always out of the business. And I think that sometimes we get lost in that, like that if an employee, a team member isn't, you know, good at that, the particular job we have them in, that they're not good for the business. And I think that's a no. I think that we've got to kind of broaden ourselves to understand that our overall job is to make sure that we get people into the right areas of the business where they can be successful and add value to the business. And if it's not with me, if they're hungry, if they want to learn, if they have potential, I want to go then and do that. I don't ever want to see folks out on the street unless they really, truly have shown me they don't want to be here. Anthony, I don't know your thoughts around that.
No, I think you captured it well. I totally agree with you. I actually don't have anything to add. You said it well.
I think, Pamela, when you look at, I go back to situational leadership, Dr. Paul Hershey, as his leaders of that corporation, they say, hey, show me willingness, we can build ability.
Absolutely.
We can build ability. That is an excellent point in coaching development. You know, you might not fit this culture, but that doesn't necessarily mean you won't be essential to the business. And overall, well, that's a great point as well. All right, Anthony, how important is it to expand our networks by including those unlike ourselves, especially in today's climate?
Oh, it's always important to, you have to expand yourself. You have to expand your network. You have to have people that do not think like you, different backgrounds. that's just a gift. That's just like building a team, mm-hmm. right? You wouldn't build a team with the same skill sets as you. Mm-hmm. That's boring. It, to me, in order for us to grow and for order for us to be great, and I don't wake up every morning unless I'm trying to be great. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm not, we work way too hard. So I want to be great, and I want to surround myself around greatness. Therefore, I got to make sure people bring different skills, different backgrounds, different races to the table at all times. So whether that's networking, building a team, friends, etc., that's how we grow.
So it's about building teams, Anthony, as you stated, you know, but when you're thinking about, you know, that networking and building relationships, it's kind of awkward to your point. You know, I do have that person that is analytical versus that person who is, you know, intuition based, makes decision based on intuition. So it's about connecting. It's about building teams, as Anthony stated. Pamela, anything you want to add to that when you're talking about expanding the networks with people that are not like-minded?
I think you have to do that. You know, we work for an innovation company. Mm-hmm. If you build a team and everybody thinks like you, has the same experience as you, you're not going to get diverse and innovative and creative ways to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to get the same old, same old, same old. So I think it's very important that we all as leaders seek out folks who think differently than we do, bring different skills to the table. And one of the things that I think I like most in the folks that I have working for me is that they call it like they see it. Mm-hmm. That they find a voice at the table. We may not always agree. And at the end of the day, as leaders, you know, somebody's got to make a call, but I would rather have folks at the table with me, in the trenches with me, who are going to genuinely bring their thoughts to the table, passionately bring their thoughts to the table so that we hear all points of view. 'Cause I may come back a day later. I've had leaders that I work for and probably the ones I've liked working for the best that will come back later on and say to you, you know what? I thought about that overnight and that's a good point. You know, I think I need to go back and consider that, or may come back and say, hey, that was a great idea. That was a good point. I'm glad that you threw it out there and we could discuss it. We're still going in this direction though, but you've been heard. And I think you've got to have different people on the team to be successful and be high performing.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that this has been phenomenal. I have enjoyed the conversation that we've just had over the last few moments, talking about networking, understanding the significance to still build that network, even with COVID-19 here in the forefront. We also understood that you all were talking about when you network, you have to be your authentic self. And it goes beyond just that plan statement and questions. And I like to wrap up in our sessions with final words, final thoughts from each speaker. So, Pamela, I want to start with you. Any final thoughts you would like to share with our audience, the network group out there? Any final thoughts in regards to networking?
I think my final thought to folks would be the best advocate for you is you. And if you want to gain advocates, you have to be an advocate for yourself. Don't expect others to just do it for you. Play an active role.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anthony Tuggle, final thoughts, final words.
I love what Pamela said. It is about you. You have to own it. This is your career. You have to take advantage of the networking experience. And that's what it is. It's an experience. Remember what we said throughout today. Networking is about establishing a relationship and making connections. And you want connections that's going to last a lifetime.
On that note, I want to thank you both, Mr. Tuckle. I want to thank you, Ms. Osborne. Thank you for your kind words, your thoughts, your views. I believe the network audience will grow because of what you've shared today. I love that last statement from you, Anthony. Networking is an experience. And we look forward to seeing everyone at our next Real Career Talk. Be powerful. Have a great day.